We're carrying on our series. In fact, we're finishing this series today, Prayer, Songs in the Key of Life. Today's message is called Listen. Today's message has nothing to do with Mother's Day, I'm sorry to say. Apart from, you could say, it's gone. What did I do? Carla's got cross with me.
Unplug it.
Unplug it, plug it back in again. The salvation of all life's problems. Yay! You could say listen with mother if you want to. Apparently that was a thing that happened in the olden days. I'm too young to remember, of course. And thank you to Richard Starling for lending us one of his baby photos to use this morning. Are you still brushing your teeth? Remember that? You're like, what? People who don't remember that message or didn't hear that message a few weeks ago. In the same way that every day we make that time, we make those couple of minutes every day, morning and evening, I hope, to brush our teeth, to attend to our dental health. We should make time every single day, even if it is just a couple of minutes, morning and evening, to attend to our spiritual health, to pray, if you like. Just to make time to be, to speak with God, yes, but first of all, just to be, to attend to our souls, attend to our spirits, attend to our life with God, attend to the voice of God, to listen, which is what today is all about. Throughout this series, our focus has not been so much on eloquent prayers or the things that we say or the things that we do or the actions or the techniques or the methods of prayer, although much could be said and has been said, and I warmly encourage you to go out and explore all those different things, that rich banquet of prayer, if that's something that you feel would be helpful in terms of enriching your spiritual life. But first and foremost, my concern and my focus has been to create that fertile ground in our lives where our souls can flourish and be nourished and grow. You know, that like a gardener who prepares the soil ready to plant some seeds. I guess some of you are keen gardeners and we're thinking about that. We're getting into spring, time to... I know very little about gardening, so if I'm completely off, please ignore me and just take it as an analogy. But I gather that this is the time of year where gardeners start sticking stuff in the ground. Am I right? I don't mean to get too technical. Sticking stuff in the ground. Come back, Monty Don. All is forgiven. Anyway, yeah, before you do that, though, you've got to clear away the stones. You've got to prepare the ground. You've got to make sure that the ground is fertile and appropriate for new life to grow. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Sometimes our lives are so cluttered and so busy. Just clearing away a space just to stop and go, Lord, I'm here. You're here. Let's just be together for a while. That can be difficult, can't it? Just to make that space. Because there's always the next thing. There's the next bleep on your mobile device. There's the next appointment. There's the next work commitment. There's whatever it is. There's so much going on. We need to create space. That space, as you all know, is not going to create itself. We have to put barriers and walls and boundaries around that space to give our souls that time just to be before the Lord. That space for prayer, that space for space, that space for openness, that space for receptivity. So today is all about listening. Because all the way through this, we've talked about prayer as a conversation. It's not a one-way thing. It's not just me giving my list. It's not me sending off my Christmas list to Father Christmas at the North Pole. We used to send ours up the chimney. What did you used to do? Anyway, it's not that. It's a conversation. It's a being in presence with another being. And that being is the being at the center of all being. It's God himself. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? That when we enter into those prayer spaces, In Christian prayer, in Christian spirituality in general, we dare to believe that we are not just entering a kind of meditative state. We're not just simply traveling alone into those inner spaces and inner silences, although that's where we might start. We are entering communion. We are entering a togetherness, that means, with the divine, the transcendent, the being at the center of all being, God the Father himself. When we pray, We enter into that space, don't we? We are talking to God. And crucially, God is talking back. Have you ever just meditated on that thought? We pray, we talk to God, but God is also talking back. In fact, probably more importantly, God is talking back. God is talking. We would be wise to listen, right? Because anything that I might have to say about any subject at all, I reckon God's got something else to say. He has a better word to say. I would do well to listen. Yeah, it's great to speak. It's fantastic to speak. But it's great to listen. As Jesus says in Matthew 6, when you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Isn't that a comforting thought? Have you ever been in a prayer meeting or a situation where you're praying and someone prays, you were just about to pray, and then someone else prays and they're really, really good at it. They're really eloquent. They use verily and thou. And that's how you know when God is speaking, because God speaks like a 16th century Englishman. That's how you know. And the people that can speak that language have obviously got, you know, they're on the fast track. But Jesus' encouragement here is, no, these phrases, this piling up of words, there's nothing wrong with eloquence, but don't think that that's how you're going to get heard. God knows what you need before you even speak. He knows what's on your heart. God speaks. How valuable would it be for us to hear the word of the Lord every single day? However, as I was preparing for this message, I did a little survey of Scripture, and it's really interesting to note that, yes, God speaks. He speaks all the time, but God does not speak in the same way all the time. It's not always in the same circumstances. It's not always in the same manner. One size does not fit all. It's not exactly the same all the time, our listening to God. Like it says in Hebrews, at the beginning of Hebrews, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophet. Well, that straight away is worthy of our attention. God spoke in many and various ways to the prophets. But in these last days, crucially, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he anointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. God's way of speaking has changed and does change, and it's different in different situations. God gave messages directly to people in the Bible. We read in Exodus 33 that thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Wouldn't that be awesome? A bit scary, but amazing. God used to speak to Moses face to face like one speaks to a friend. But also, we read plenty of times that God speaks through angels. I mean, famously, I don't know if you can see it in the picture, famously, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to speak to Mary, didn't he? And God speaks through angels all the time. He sends messengers. That word angel in both Hebrew, it's malach, in Greek, it's angelos. It means messenger. God sends messengers. And we instantly think of divine messengers, the spiritual creatures that are in heaven around his throne all the time. But also God can speak through messengers, human messengers as well. The Bible is full of that as well. Sometimes God speaks in the drama. Using my drama voice for that, you get that? In the drama, in the power, in the excitement, in the majesty, in the awesomeness of it all, in the thunder. I love having a mic, it's so amazing. Natural echo. In the thunder, God speaks. Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice Don't stop me now, I'm enjoying myself. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say, Oh, thank you, folks. If you'd gone quiet there, that would have been really disappointing. And sometimes, not. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now, there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I love that story. God speaks through visions and dreams. Think of Jacob. This is an image of Jacob's ladder, you know, where Jacob lays down. We read in Genesis, and he dreams of angels ascending and descending to heaven. Think of his son Joseph, famously. Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcoat fame. Made famous by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Maybe you'd heard of him before that. Think of the dreams of Daniel. Think of the dreams of Joseph, Mary's husband. God came to him in a dream. We remember that at Christmas particularly. And think about through people interpreting dreams. So sometimes it's someone else that's had the dream and they share their dream. And then God uses one of his servants to interpret the dream and bring revelation and understanding. He speaks through the interpretation of dreams. Think of Joseph again, interpreting the dreams for Pharaoh. And of Gideon and Solomon and Daniel again. In Numbers 12 we read, and he said, hear my words. When there are prophets among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. Ace, who has really weird dreams? Okay, well, it's worth bearing in mind that God says not all dreams. See also Jeremiah 23:32, Deuteronomy 13, and plenty of other places where God says, even if the dreams come true, but they lead you away from me, I didn't send you that dream. You can't just trust any old dream. Thank goodness. Because there'd be some really weird stuff going on if I followed all of my dreams. God speaks. He seems to speak in different ways at different times and different seasons of life. We read in 1 Samuel 3, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Interesting. Seems like that was a whole season where, for whatever reason, visions were not widespread and the word of the Lord was rare. But God also promises in Joel that then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. God's voice was discerned in all sorts of ways. God's voice was discerned through the Urim and Thummim. You heard of the Urim and Thummim? In the breastplate of the high priest, there were these two little devices, the Urim and the Thummim. And basically, it sounds like they used to like throw them like dice and discern the will of God by effectively casting lots. How weird would that be if in the church meeting we said, are we going to do this, folks? No, don't bother voting. I've got some dice. I'm going to flip a coin, heads or tails. Ready? There we go. Imagine casting lots. We also read that the apostles cast lots to appoint Judas's successor, Matthias. They cast lots. That's weird. You could also say, you remember the story of Gideon laying out a fleece? Kind of weird stuff, almost like, you know, well, if it's like this, if it's like that, let's flip a coin. It's a bit weird, isn't it? Effectively casting lots. God speaks through, that's a picture of Gideon the fleece. There you go. Enjoy. Moving on. God speaks through the example of others. 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to his young friend and a young pastor called Timothy. And he encourages him, now, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. He's saying, look at me. You want to see what God is wanting for your life. You're wanting an example. You're wanting something to follow. You want to be guided by a godly example. You can turn to various people who can give us a godly example. God also speaks through the words of Scripture. Again, just a couple of verses in the same chapter there. Paul says to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Again, think about who taught you that example. And how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, or you can translate that as every Scripture inspired by God is also useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. God speaks through Scripture. He inspires us through the Bible. All of which is to say, all of that, all of those examples, I think we probably can't make assumptions about how God's going to speak to us. We don't want to limit him in the ways that he might speak. We don't want to limit him in the manner that that word will come, or the frequency, or the content. You know, for example, God could speak through specific words, specific instructions, or God could speak through his presence, just his being there, through a nudge in the spirit, through a nudge of your conscience, through an emotion, through a sense of his presence, his reassurance. Sometimes God doesn't need to say a word, does he? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we can cry out to God, and like a good father, what we feel back is just simply, I'm here. And that's all we need to know. We might limit our hearing of what God wants to say because of what we're expecting to hear. If we come to him with a whole bunch of questions, we might be only listening for an answer to that question. We might miss what else God might be wanting to say and how he might want to be saying it. Remember, Job summoned God effectively to answer his accusation. Come on, God, come and speak for yourself. Answer for yourself. I've got all these accusations to lay at your door. And God didn't do that, if you read Job. God just says, no, we're going to talk about something else. I'm going to show you something different. If we're expecting a specific kind of word, we might be deafened to what God actually wants to say. Have a listen again to the message I preached a few weeks ago about asking God for things. It's a very similar thing. I want to talk a little bit, before we close today, about prophecy, the gift of prophecy. There's some really good advice in 1 Thessalonians where Paul writes to the church in Thessaly and says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is great advice for our prayer lives. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. There's really not much more I can add to that. I mean, that's just great advice. We believe that with the gift of prophecy, prophecy means different things in different places. We could speak for hours and hours about what prophecy means in different contexts and how the prophetic might be worked out amongst us. But certainly, we believe that God gives us words. He gives us images. He gives us insights when we pray. And we can sometimes share those things. They might not be words for us. They might be. But they might be words or pictures or insights for someone else, for someone you're praying for or for someone you know. A situation you're praying about. It might be a word or insight for the church that the church needs to hear. And I want to really encourage us to press forward with this gift. But I also want to challenge us. I want to challenge us that when we explore the prophetic, when we nurture that gift in our midst, I think we're called to have more of a cutting edge. We're called to a diligence. We're called to really pursue that gift, to challenge ourselves. It's too easy to be vague. I see a picture of a tree. Because a tree is relevant to anyone at any time. I mean, you can make a tree fit. Joe and I signed up for this. Perhaps I shouldn't say this. Oh, it's too late now. Joe and I signed up for this online conference where people were going to be giving out prophetic words. And these lovely, lovely people in a chat room, this is all by Zoom, in a chat room, they gave us a prophetic word. Now, I could pick up a tennis ball now. I could turn around. I could throw it over my shoulder and hit any one of you. And that word would have been equally as relevant to you as it was to me. I.e., it was not relevant at all. Yet. Now, I could say yet. Maybe there will come a point where I'll get the pleasure of standing before you and say, you remember I told you about that word that was completely irrelevant? Well, you'll never believe. And there's always the chance of that. But come on, people, really. Don't we want more? Don't we want a word with a cutting edge? Often we'll share a prophecy and it just doesn't feel like a personal message from a God who knows me. Anyone ever had that experience? It's like, well, okay, yeah, maybe, but there's nothing about this message that suggests it comes from someone who actually knows me, moreover loves me, and wants to communicate something relevant to me in this circumstance. There is a cutting edge. In Hebrews, we read, indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. Imagine prophetic words that would have that kind of authority and power in our lives. For us as a church, this is what we need to be pursuing. Now, even as I say this, I'm kind of torn, because I know that if we make it too difficult, if I put too much pressure on, if we're scared of getting it wrong, well, we're not even going to practice, are we? So, oh, I better not. I've got this idea, but, you know, it might be a load of old nonsense. It might be a bit vague. I won't say it. Now, that's the last thing I want you to take away from today. We should try. If you're praying for someone, if you're asking for a prophetic word and you get an image, you get an idea, please, please share it. But you know what? There's a real simple way that you can square this circle. It's called humility. When you share a word, a bit less, thus saith the Lord, verily unto you I beseech. You see, you know, because it's from God, because it's 16th century. Just, I've got this image in my mind. It might be the cheese. It might be that we missed an hour of sleep and I'm a little bit woozy and I haven't had enough caffeine, but I want to share this with you. Simple, isn't it? I think I've got a word. I want to share it with you, but tell me what you think. Wouldn't that be helpful? If I share a word with you and you come back to me and go, Jamie, bless you, that means nothing to me at all. That's fine. Because that encourages me to go back and dig deeper. To ask a bit more, say, okay, fine, well, I'll dig a bit deeper, I'll pray about it. Maybe there's more, maybe it wasn't for you, maybe it's for me, maybe it's for someone else. We can be human with one another. We can be humble with one another. I also believe that the prophetic is something that we should pursue. I don't think we should just chance our arm. Hey, you know what? I'm feeling lucky. Here's an image in my head. Go for it. Maybe God's... But you know what I mean? It's something we should pursue. It's something we should pray about. If you know you're going to be praying for someone, or you're going to be like gathering in a prayer gathering, prayer meeting, whatever it might be, spend some time in preparation beforehand. Be seeking the Lord. Let's be honing that gift. Let's be pursuing that gift. Let's be asking God to bless us more richly and more deeply with that gift. It's something worth pursuing with diligence. It's something worth testing. We're testing, we're growing all the time. We're like pots being shaped by the potter. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it right. We test it. We test it against Scripture. We test it against the tradition of the church. We test the word against the character of Jesus. If you really can't imagine Jesus saying these words, maybe hold back a little bit. Jesus says, blessed are the violent and the strong. He definitely would say something like that. Blessed are the rich and not... You know, you can really imagine this is not something Jesus would say. It's fine to give some feedback. It's fine to have some follow-up. If you give a prophetic word, what about a couple of weeks later saying, hey, you know that word I gave you? Have you had a chance to pray about it? Has it connected with you? Because it'd be really encouraging to hear that. And if it hasn't, fine. I've got the opportunity to dig deeper. I've got the opportunity to hone my gift a little bit more. Take that feedback on board. Go back to God with it. Remember, it's a conversation. It's not a scripted play. We're not supposed to get the words right all the time. Do you sometimes stumble over your words in conversation? Do you get halfway through a sentence and realize you can't remember a word? Do you walk into a room and forget why you went in there? Yes, this has got nothing to do with the subject today, but I'm just sharing my pain with you. It's a conversation. It's not a performance that we have to get all the words right. Finally, and I want to leave you with this. In fact, band, you can start making your way up, getting yourselves plugged in. Think of the conversation that we have with God as very often not just being a conversation with words or with images or with sensations. Think about a conversation with our lives. Think about listening to your life. What has happened with you? How has God been growing you? Perhaps over days, over months, over years, over decades. What's the journey? What's the conversation that you've been having with God over your life? We might hear God's question or hear God's answer to us in the changing seasons of our lives rather than as an instant answer. As I often say to people, sometimes it's easier to hear and see what God has been doing when you look in the rearview mirror, when you look over your shoulder. What on earth was happening through this situation? And then 5 years later, 3 years later, you look back and you go, oh, okay. Yeah, I can see where you were. God's word to us may be in the rhythms and the revelations of our unfolding lives. Let's just pray as we go into a final time of worship.